Dave Jensen, good night.
Good evening, Steel Wagstaff. How goes it with you?
Dave, we are approaching the end of the year, and I just feel like it's a portent of good things to come. I just feel some kind of cosmic energy is aligned tonight and is preparing probably the greatest retrospective that the year 2015 has and will ever see. Is a canceled check. The maximum point of power is now. That's something that Beck heard on a late night TV ad and inspired him a lot, and I just wanted to pass it on to you, Dave.
Yeah, I think that was a quote from me. That's how I've always lived my life, Steele. You know I'm looking for tomorrow.
Well, Dave, this is probably going to be our last podcast of the year, and so we're going to look back at the year in review. Do you remember what we were doing in mid to late January, Dave?
No. Please enlighten me.
We were recording our first ever Off the Chain podcast.
We've done a whole year of these things?
We have. It's crazy, huh? We've done one almost every week.
It's a little ridiculous, but I've loved it. I hope we keep doing it. It's been really fun.
So we're going to look back at the year in review. We're going to start off by talking about the least memorable major events of 2015. We're going to do the best of the year in review, and we're going to have, as always, some Unchained Melodies and some book wisdom. But I want to start with some things that you might have missed that we think were pretty cool in the last year. And I want to start in the realm of science, technology, which is where I work, and medicine, which is where Dave works. First item on the list, this is one that we need Dan Jenajon to know about. I'm not sure if he caught this news release, was involved in this news release. We didn't bring it up with them last time, but expert testimony next time. January 13th, Dave, do you remember when this happened? Duke University?
How could I forget? I'm still haunted by it, actually.
Yeah. For the listeners at home, what happened was on January 13th, Duke University Lab announced that they had completed the first lab-grown contracting human muscle. So they grew a human muscle that was capable of contracting. They expect that it'd be able to bench probably 450 next year, 600 times its body weight. And I have no idea what it can leg press. So, Dan, you better get in the gym if you want to keep up with the Duke University lab muscles.
Yeah, I wonder if they named the muscle. I'd like to see how he's doing now.
You have
it's
any
been
suggestions?
Nearly a year.
Any suggestions for what you'd name a lab-grown muscle?
In my house, anytime we're naming anything, it's Hugo. So I'd name him Hugo.
Yeah, great.
Sure.
That was probably the major accomplishment for the early part of the year. A couple other things happened in March. One thing that I had no idea about, but scientists captured the first ever image of light as both a particle and a wave. They've long theorized that light is both, but they actually took a photograph or made an image where light is simultaneously both things in the same image. It'll blow your mind.
These scientists, they're really doing stuff now. Like they're not holding themselves back anymore.
The other great thing was that a NASA probe visited a dwarf planet for the first time. And I thought you might have a few things to add about this. I know your great interest in space exploration and all of the great documentary novels that have been written on the topic.
I love any time we get further out in space. Later in the year, a probe went near Pluto with some really interesting pictures and results from that. And I just love the phrase dwarf planet, too.
Yeah, what really caught my attention. I didn't even know what one was, but I was like, hey, we've seen one. Human beings have seen a dwarf planet.
For listeners to help them understand, a dwarf planet is what it sounds like. It's a planet ruled by dwarves, and it is amazing.
The other thing about the planet is it has a normal-sized torso, but very small hands and feet. Its head is normal size, though, as well.
Yeah, and it wears a helm, actually, on its head. Lots of axes. Just a fantastic planet.
Really into mining as well, this dwarf planet. Lots of that.
Yeah, if you want some metal work done, go to Ceres, and they're going to make you some fantastic things, too.
Dave, as a male nurse, can you share with us one of the big breakthroughs of medicine this year?
It's something we're really excited about, something I've been prescribing to every patient possible.
Whether they're sick or not, huh?
Yeah, just, hey guys, there's a 1,000-year-old treatment for eye infections. It's got onion, garlic, and part of a cow's stomach in it. It's going to take out your staph infections. You're going to do great with this. Yeah, works wonders.
So the antibiotic-resistant superbug MRSA apparently is vulnerable to this thousand-year-old mixture of cow stomach and onion and garlic.
And I'd be interesting to see to look into the studies a little bit more, because genuinely in the hospital, MRSA is something like we're very worried about, constantly screened for. If it gets on one patient, you have to gown up, glove up, do all sorts of precautions so that you can't get it to another patient, just because it is such a persistent bug and hard to treat.
Does it make you think twice about how you thought about all those English gypsies? Because I'm pretty sure they had a bunch of onion, garlic, and cow stomach dishes that they were eating regular. Maybe it was to ward off staph infection.
They're ahead of the curve, and they certainly needed to ward off staph infection. Major problem among the gypsy community.
Oh, Dave, sad news. June 19th, there was a major study released that confirmed that Earth is currently witnessing the start of a mass extinction, the likes of which have not been seen for at least 65 million years. But fortunately, the cause is being precipitated by human actions. So good job, human beings. Over the last 500 years, you are killing other species at an unprecedented rate, at least for the last 65 million years.
This is why interstellar exploration is so important. When we wear this Earth out, we're going to need to be able to take over Ceres from the dwarves and have other places to live.
Cuban medical news, Dave. I think you had a bullet point here for us from Cuba.
First country in the world to eradicate mother-to-child transmission of HIV and syphilis.
Nice job, Cuba.
Yeah, they've done well. I'm happy with what they're doing down there.
The thing that a lot of people don't note is that 3 weeks later, the U.S. reestablished full diplomatic relations with the country. I think it was no coincidence there.
No, that was always a stipulation that Kennedy had talked about. It wasn't until Cuba could really do something about syphilis. Kennedy did not want to negotiate with him until that happened.
You don't stick your diplomat back in until you're sure that they're not going to be transmitting HIV or syphilis. That's what they say at the State Department. The other big exciting piece of news that I think both of us are living proof of, scientists in July found conclusive evidence of the phenomenon known as dad bod. I don't know if you're aware of this study, but men who become fathers experience weight gain, as we all have experienced and know this is a scientific fact now. There was a large-scale study that tracked more than 10,000 men over a 20-year period. If you became a dad, you gained weight. If you didn't become a dad, you actually lost weight over the 20-year period. So dad bod is real, it's alive, and we have our children to blame for our growing middles. It's nice to know.
It's worth it though, Steele.
Absolutely.
And I haven't gained weight since I've been a dad. We'll see how it goes going forward, though.
I don't know
More
if it
fun.
applies to the in vitro dads, so maybe that's.
That's a whole different study, yeah. Well, in other cutting-edge scientific news, this is the year that Marty McFly traveled to and Back to the Future too.
Oh, yeah, so he arrived from 1985 in October. Exciting.
October 21st. And if you actually watch the film again, you'll see it's uncanny. They essentially got everything correct about 2015. Fashion, hoverboards, the whole deal.
And
Really
the
well done.
Cubs had a historic year. They won the World Series. They beat the Miami Gators this year. So congratulations to the Cubs for breaking their 100-plus year World Series curse. So that's basically the year in science, technology, and medicine. I think we covered the major points. It was also a big year in sports. I know you and I are big sports fans. Major sports things this year, Dave, you want to recap? Anything that was besides the Cubs winning the World Series?
One thing that's really exciting that's happening now is, and from earlier in the year, the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. Have you been
Oh,
following these guys?
it's unbelievable. They have burned up basketball. They're just the best.
It's amazing. I watched the finals. I actually felt like I was rooting for Cleveland in the finals. But
What?
this year, anytime I turn on the TV, if the Warriors are on, I'm just excited. I want them to win every game. Oh, the other thing I'm excited about the NBA is Kobe's farewell tour. Have you been following this?
He wrote a poem. That's the only thing I know. He wrote a poem to announce he's going out of the league, so respect.
The thing I know is the box scores are amazing. Kobe is he's just shooting as much as possible
I
all the
think he was like
time.
7 for 76 the other night, so got his
He's hitting
buckets.
around 30% of his shots, 20% from three, and he's just not going to stop. and everybody loves it. Every town he goes to, everybody's chanting for Kobe, and I'm totally on board. I hope he doesn't stop.
Two pieces of sports news that I want to mention that are not on the radar for a lot of Americans. One is the Rugby World Cup was held this year, and it was won again by the All Blacks of New Zealand. Amazing historic accomplishment. I think if you think about context, New Zealand is the greatest country in the world at rugby, a sport that involves at least a dozen players. So they have to produce a dozen world-class or more rugby athletes. And New Zealand has 4.5 million people who live in it. It is fewer than the country Costa Rica and fewer than the United States states of either South Carolina or Louisiana. So if you could imagine the state of South Carolina being the world's premier, the best nation in the world at a sport, that's essentially what New Zealand has done with rugby. It's crazy. It's awesome.
I think South Carolina actually is the best nation in the world at bocce ball. I don't know if you're aware of that. They're great down there.
Man, I should have followed that more closely. I was got real caught up in the darts championship this year and didn't get to spend the usual amount of time on bocce coverage.
Yeah, the Louisiana team, darts team, they were great.
Yeah. The other great thing that happened this year was the Women's World Cup. Did you watch any of those games, Dave?
I watched part of one. Yeah.
Nice. The U.S. women won unprecedented third time. They beat Japan 5-2 in the final, and Carly Lloyd scored a hat trick, including what I think is the goal of the year. She scored a goal from inside her own half in the Women's World Cup final. Amazing accomplishment. Extraordinary. One of my heroes, sportswomen.
That's cool. And my family probably wouldn't let me live if they actually listened to this podcast if I didn't talk about the Royals. They all live outside Kansas City. They went to multiple playoff games. And the thing that was the funniest to me is that all the local schools around Kansas City closed for the day for the Royals victory parade.
Wow. So in the end, they threw a victory parade even though they lost to the Cubs in the World Series?
Yeah, they still did.
Oh,
The
wow.
city just really supports the Royals. It's amazing. They won't give up on them.
I guess we have proof of the multiple universe theory after all, I guess, huh? Other random things that happened this year that were really great. This was a crazy news story that I saw. In February, the New York City Police Department reported that there had been no murders in the city for a 12-day period for the first time in the city's history. They went 12 days without a murder. They cited they had a bunch of those freak storms and the weather events, but congratulations to New York City. The first or the 12-day stretch in February, it was actually maybe a decent place to live, buried in snow.
All right. New York City, pray for a lot of snow again this winter and see if you can beat the record. That's fantastic.
The other great thing I think was March 21st. It was Cedar's birthday and it was Dan's wedding. And that was the only time this year that we saw each other in the flesh, Dave.
It was super fun. All of us stayed in one house together. I love getting a huge group of people and children into one small house. It's really, I'm genuinely saying that. It's one of my favorite things. It's awesome.
It was so great. Our kids met each other. My son definitely tried to make out all over Howard's daughter. Was a little awkward. But yeah, it was great. Congratulations to Dan and Camille. Thank you for giving us an occasion to get together. And maybe, who knows, there might be another such occasion in the next 5 years with old John Stopher.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We're in your corner, John. Whatever we can do for you, just let us know. My big news is, well, I went to Disney World, but there was confusion in our family for a little while because the artist Banksy opened Dismaland in Somerset, England.
Oh,
And
yeah.
we weren't sure if we were supposed to go to England or Florida, but we made it to Florida, really enjoyed it. But Disneyland also looked terrific.
I think it would be a little too close to the Skegness experience. You just have to sit that one out.
Yeah, in the end, we made the right choice.
The thing that I'm most excited for, it hasn't yet happened, but Treasury Secretary Jack Lew has announced that a woman is going to replace Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill in 2020. And we haven't announced which women yet, but I'm really on pins and needles waiting to find out. Alexander Hamilton's now got a musical. He's done. Out of the culture. Got his musical. You're out.
See, I'm with the people that are supporting Andrew Jackson to be removed instead of Hamilton. Let's keep Hamilton. I'd love one of these women to be on the $20 bill. Let's just get rid of Andrew Jackson. He wasn't that great.
Yeah, he was a total jackass, and he never killed anybody in a duel. So Yeah, I don't know what he's got to brag about.
Yeah, so I don't understand what Jack Lew is thinking. Getting rid of Alexander Hamilton over Andrew Jackson, huge mistake.
Yeah.
Do you have a vote for who you want on the $10 bill?
Yeah, Harriet Tubman.
You're
Of
Tubman,
the four
okay.
finalists, Harriet Tubman would be awesome. I think the four front runners are Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Eleanor Roosevelt, Susan B. Anthony. Harriet Tubman would be the best. Ain't I
I
a
think
woman?
so.
She was cool.
And Susan B. Anthony's had her chance on the dollar coin, and
Yeah.
it hasn't. It's worked okay, but it didn't work out great.
Yeah, I
Let's
mean,
give Tubman a chance.
yeah, I'm all in for Tubman in 2020. Well, Dave, now it's time for us to do the year in review, and this is where we talk about the best things of the year. Best new band, Dave. Who is the best band that's new to you this year?
I just got excited about this guy. I've heard him a little bit throughout the year, but he was just on Saturday Night Live recently. And I watched one of his live performances, and it's just fantastic. I watched it several times in a row. But Leon Bridges, have you heard this young man?
I've just heard snippets, but what a voice. I thought it was like a classic soul singer when I heard the song.
Yeah, he kind of plays that up a lot. His music sounds very much like an African American singer from the '60s. And that is definitely the time period that he's really into musically. But his voice is just beautiful. And the music's just so powerful. I really like what he's doing.
So what do you know about him? Is he a young guy? Where's he from? Do you know any of that stuff?
I don't know too much about him. He's in his 20s. One of the things I read about him this year as he was starting to get bigger is that mostly white people went to his concerts. Very few African Americans. Like, so at the concerts, every once in a while, he'd say, "Yeah, where are my black girls at?" And he'd get a few of the girls to come to the front. But it's interesting that it's very traditional '60s soul kind of music that he's singing, and his audiences that he's reaching is primarily like, your white college kid.
Great. So thanks, and we're sorry at the same time. So here's my pick, Dave. There's a Brazilian cellist and vocalist. Her performing name is Domlenena, Domlenena. She plays the cello, which is the first way to unlock my heart, the most beautiful instrument ever invented. She's a really interesting songwriter, has a great kind of melodious voice. Her first album came out in 2013, but I didn't hear it at the time. And I heard she did an album with a woman named Rosemary Standley that's mostly covers called Bird on a Wire, and it's got a Leonard Cohen cover as the title. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was incredible. And she's just, I think, in her mid-20s from Porto Alegre, Brazil, and grew up in France when her dad was getting his PhD there. But she's amazing. Check her out. Domlenena. I think she's going to do great things in the next few years.
Yeah, I'll listen. I'm intrigued. Still, best food, best meal you had in 2015.
Dave, I just got back from a trip last month to Vancouver, British Columbia. And before I went, I researched all the restaurants, and there's a place called The Acorn. And it's like a all vegetarian restaurant, serves a bunch of gluten-free stuff. But anyway, I went with four people. I went with this really cool guy who invented a company called Pressbooks. He's from Montreal. I met him at the conference. I wanted to hang out with him, so I said, "Hey, you want to go out to dinner?" And then I met these two other Canadian librarians, really cool ladies. Well, all four of us went out to dinner there, and I bought everybody dinner, and we all got two big vegetarian appetizers, and everybody got a separate entree, and we all just shared it. It was like paradise for me. We're all sharing food. It was all vegetarian, all like fresh, organic, local.
So
Dave, it was.
you're at the librarian conference in Vancouver, Canada, and you wait for a vegetarian meal. It just sounds like a joke, Steele. It's awesome. That sounds awesome.
Dave, it was so good. I had this raw rolled eggplant dish out of this world.
What describe a couple of the other dishes to me, can you?
Oh, okay. So there was a corn-based one. It was like corn fritters, and it had like a corn polenta on top, and then there was like a tomato. It was kind of like a salsa, but not Southwestern flavor on the top of that, with some really interesting like fresh mint and other things. And then there was a really interesting one that was. It was based on fish and chips, but it didn't have any meat. And instead, it was deep-fried halloumi cheese, which is kind of like feta. But otherwise, it was like fish and chips, and it was a really interesting, great dish. And then the last one was a bunch of like root vegetables. It was like beets and other things, and with some intriguing sauces. And we had this great kale appetizer, and I can't remember what the other appetizer was, but it wasn't as good as I hoped it was going to be.
So my best food is probably in direct opposition to what you just described. Although what you described actually sounds delicious. I feel a bit hungry now.
Me too.
But I love cheeseburgers still. It's not the classiest food, but it is my favorite food. So for our anniversary, we went to this place, the Arizona Wilderness Brewing Co. And we don't drink alcohol, so they were really taken aback when we showed up and didn't drink, order beer. They didn't know like what was going on. I was like,
Wait,
I'll have a soda.
you're like, hold on, you're at the brewing company. We make the beer here.
We have three. It's microbrewed right here, guys. Trust me. But I ordered a burger and it was just so good. My mouth's just watering thinking about it. Just you're not into any of this stuff still, but it's thick, kind of honey glazed bacon, and
Wow.
the patty is a little bit thicker than your average burger patty. And sometimes that might make it
A
seem
little
kind of
bloody on
gross.
the
You're biting
inside.
into this huge chunk of meat, but just the flavor that they got out of this beef, unbelievable.
How did you have it done, Dave? Was it how rare, medium rare, charred? What do you like?
I like medium. I want a little bit of pink in the middle just to get the juices really flowing. And the French fries and stuff were great, but the burger, I think I dream about it at night.
So meat, bacon, what was the other? Did it have a flavor palette or a cheese or a theme, or was it just the meat and the bacon that did it for you?
That's what primarily did it, but you gotta have cheese. I typically go with just a kind of a sharp cheddar,
Nice.
and
Great choice.
it depends on the night how I'm feeling. But that night I went for a little bit of a spicier burger, a little bit of jalapeno on it, and
Oh,
I really enjoyed it.
I think that sounds great. You're in the Southwest. You got to go spicy. So, Dave,
Yeah.
we're on the subject of best meals. My meal, obviously, I bought a meal for four people. It was like more than $100, but best meal under $10 that you had in the last year, like your best go-to cheap meal.
There's a place in Mesa called Backyard Taco. So these folks, they used to just in their backyard, they used to make tacos.
Nice.
But they got successful enough, and they got to where it was very popular. There are too many people coming to their backyard. They kind of got in a little bit of trouble with the authorities. So they opened a little restaurant in Mesa, Tacos a Carbone, something like that. But it's basically this just grilled meat tacos. So I would get typically the carne asada grilled meat taco, and just a great flavor, good selection of salsas and chips and everything. But just again, it's primarily the meat, the beef that was attracting me.
I will say I've detected a theme, and it was the meat and the beef. But the thing that I really miss, Dave, about the West and the Southwest in particular are the salsas.
It's
Wisconsin
so
salsa is like one flavor, and it's not that great.
any type like a burrito shop, any type of Mexican place that has any class, there's like usually at least three or four types of
Oh,
salsa that you can
you're
get.
killing
And
me, man. My
just going
stomach
to the
is like,
salsa bar is exciting.
oh, it's so good. Okay, so here's my choice. In Madison, just near the Memorial Library downtown on State Street, there is a Thai food cart. It's called Luang Prabang, and it's run by these two sisters. We're like close friends. They bought an outfit for Cedar that they gave to me one day when I was at the food cart. They're like the nicest women. I shouldn't say we're close friends. I'm a customer, but they're really, really nice to me. They make great Thai food. They do these big spring rolls. It's like wrapped in translucent egg noodle. And it's like the size of your forearm from elbow to fist. It used to be $2, stuffed with spicy stuff and avocado. It's now, I think it's now $2.50 or $3. It's like a full-on meal. But the thing that I always get is they always have at least a couple of vegetarian things. And I'll just say, hey, can I get half tofu pad Thai and half whatever other vegetarian entree? Sometimes it's squash curry. Sometimes it's like a noodle dish. Sometimes it's just a Thai salad. Sometimes it's papaya salad. I'm really killing the radio. Sometimes it's papaya salad. And just they give me full servings of each for $5.
That's ridiculous. You can't
They're
get that
the.
anywhere. That's terrific.
And they make their own hot chili paste, and they'll give me like a whole little jar of it. And so I'm just in heaven, man. It's such a great value. Really good food. The Thai food cart, Luang Prabang. Every once in a while, I bring friends there, and then they'll come out and be like, hey, here's a free mango sticky rice. And they'll just give me a free mango sticky rice because they like me. I've impressed so many people with this move.
And you're just so likable. I mean, you're probably walking into places all the time. They're like, hey, here's some mango rice for you, buddy.
People don't usually give me free stuff, but sometimes people say hello. That's at least nice.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. Best day trip of 2015.
We've gone on so many fun day trips, but one I remember because it was just a little bit different because Ariane didn't go with us. My wife's fun. Okay. Still, I like her.
Okay.
But this was earlier in the year. So managing three barely 2 year olds by yourself at an aquarium, it's kind of intense. And it was so much fun. We went to this aquarium that's actually in a mall in Tempe, Arizona, which sounds kind of terrible, but really fun. If you're a two-year-old, walking through an aquarium is just like walking through outer space. All the tanks are down at your level. You're seeing these crazy alien creatures. You're touching starfish. They just love it. They're just giggling. Imagine three tiny two-year-olds walking. About half the time, we're all four of us are holding hands, looking at fish. It is just, and they're so good. They're not running away or like causing any problems. They're just enjoying the aquarium.
This sounds like something that's going to be optioned by Pixar next year for sure. Feel good story of the year.
It was so happy. And at the end, there was like a little climbing playground for some reason, and we just played for like 45 minutes and everything was great until Elsie started taking her shoes off and throwing them out from the top of the playground. And then we left, but that was the end. And the rest of the time was great.
You know, all good things must end, they say. You know, Dave, I don't have anything that's really story worthy, so I'm going to take a pass on this one. All right, Dave, so I am notoriously frugal, we'll say. Anytime something costs more than $100, I'll be like, whoa, I don't know. And I'll just put off buying it for years. So when I bought those leather boots last year, I had been wanting to get leather boots since my mission. I was 20 years old when I first saw a pair of boots that I wanted to get. I just didn't pull the trigger until I was 33 years old.
No, you want to think about it. You don't want to rush into something. Still.
I mean, they ended up being like $60 too. And it took me like a month to make the final decision. And Laurel was finally just, buy the boots. It's going to be okay. So I did. But I want to talk about our best expensive purchase of the year. And for me, expensive is anything over $20. But this actually qualifies as like a triple digit dollar expenditure. We bought a fancy new Panasonic camera. It takes photographs and it takes 4K video, which I don't really know what that is, but it can do it.
4K video, that sounds high tech, man.
We don't have a TV per se, so it's not like we have anywhere to play our 4K video on, but one day I'm sure this will be like the cool standard and we'll have already shot a bunch of shots of our kid in 4K. So boom, bought this great camera. It's been awesome, Dave. I've been learning a lot about photography, I think, in small ways, and it's just really improved the quality of the memories and the images I've been able to take, mostly of Cedar. They just look so much better, and it makes me happy to see beautiful images of our son instead of like grainy pixelated ones.
Oh man, my wife has been saving up credit card points for several years, and she finally saved up enough to get a new camera. She hasn't figured out how to work it. It's right here still. We'll see how it goes if she has as much of a good experience as you did.
I hope so. How about you, Dave? Best expensive purchase of the year?
I haven't bought anything expensive except for the most expensive thing you could possibly buy is a house. We bought a house this year.
Your money pit. That sounds great. Your haunted money pit.
I really like my house. It's an old house for Arizona. There's one wall of it that's from 1890 still, like original log cabin wall. It's kind of cool looking. And the rest of the house is kind of a little bit quirky because it was built lots of add-ons throughout the years. So it's a really cool old house, but it's also a really old house. So I keep having to do stuff that I don't know how to do, like remount
the toilet.
Still, you know, I had no idea how you mount a toilet, but I had to take it off its mount and fix something below. There's like a little ring that you put under there, and I had to do that this year.
Did you turn the water off before you did it?
I did.
It's a great move. I would think you've got all the basics covered.
Yeah, turn the water off before you pull the toilet off the floor. I feel really good about it.
Champion. Well, that's great, Dave. I'm glad you're a homeowner. I mean, that's the most expensive thing I've ever heard of. I'm nowhere close to that league, but I spent about $800, I think, on a camera, which is in one purchase probably more than I've spent on clothing for the last decade of my life.
800, that's an expensive camera still.
I know. It was something I guess I wanted, so we did it.
To get that Panasonic name, you're gonna have to put out the money.
Yeah, it's a Lumix LMC LZ 2000, or I don't know exactly what it is, but something like that. Dave, it's great having a house, but sometimes you just got to get out of the house, and you got to get out into nature, into the wilderness, take a hike. My best hike of the year this last year was actually when I went to Vancouver. And it's a little sad because I went to Vancouver solo, so I wasn't with Cedar. It was one of the few walks I took this year without my son. But when I was in Vancouver, I love when I go to new cities eating food and walking. I just love walking cities. So I started off at my hotel and I walked down to the lake, or the not the lakefront, the ocean shore, and they have this big long trail. It's called the Seawall, and it just runs along the south lip of this bay or this inlet. So I just walked along the seawall for miles, and I saw hundreds of these luxury yachts with Chinese names. So all this Hong Kong wealth that's come, and all these big high-rise buildings. And then as I went up to this North Point, I went into this incredible park. It's called Stanley Park, and it's several acres. I don't know how they measure it. I don't know if that's metric or not, but a large area of old-growth Northwest forest that they preserved. That's just this promontory and this super valuable, really beautiful part of Vancouver. And I walked through this park as it was getting dark. I went to this little lost lagoon lake, and I went to this Prospect Point, which has this beautiful outlook that you can see both sides of the shore, a big suspension bridge, and just look out into the ocean. And it was stunning. The Northwest is gorgeous. And I was walking home. It got dark while I was in the woods, which was kind of exciting. Eventually, I found my way back to civilization and then walked over to this place where you can take a sea ferry. And I went over to this little island where they have a big public market on it. Bought a bunch of produce, ate dinner, and then took a sea ferry and walked home. It was an awesome urban hike.
It sounds really enjoyable. I would totally live in the Northwest if it didn't rain there just all the time. I
Yeah,
can't handle rain.
I forgot you hate it. You're a desert man.
Yeah, otherwise I'd be there. And we've done a number of hikes this year that have been really pretty. For Thanksgiving, we were just up in Kanab, Utah. We were with the Howards and Janina and her husband and Howard's
Yeah, I never asked
sister's
about how that
family.
went.
It was awesome. But at one point, I took my girls for a hike with Matt and his wife and a couple of his kids. And it was so fun. Mabel refused to come for whatever reason, which was okay because the hike got a little bit intense.
And it's nice to be able to carry a kid each, right? Instead of two.
Well, it's no, Ariane didn't come, so it was just me. So I was able to carry
Oh.
my two girls for a while. But Kanab, Utah, if you're not familiar, there's beautiful red rocks all around. And so we just drove to just the edge of town and kind of just hiked up the red rock, and the edge of town went up. It ended up going up the cliff and just getting a good view of Kanab. But it was so fun because my daughters did most of the climbing on their own, and they just were loving it. And it was a little bit intense because there was definitely places they could have gotten seriously injured. But in the way home, down, I carried both of them most of the way down just because I didn't want them to slip. It was so cool to see Elsie triumph and climb all the way to the top and just be really proud of herself and just on such pretty red rock. It was really fun.
That sounds gorgeous. Red rocks, man. That's another thing I miss about the Southwest. There's nowhere else quite like that red desert. Well, speaking of scenic beauty, Dave, best film of the year?
Oh my goodness, Steele, I've put more thought into this than anything in my life, essentially. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm going to say Furious 7, and you're probably right. But a few other films, Steele, I've seen the live action Cinderella that came out this year. Are you even aware that that exists?
What would you guess?
I guess no.
No,
That's my guess.
I didn't even know there was a non-live action Cinderella. What's Cinderella?
You know the
I'm
story
kidding.
of
Of course, I know the
Cinderella.
Disney Cinderella.
For goodness sakes. My problem with most of those Disney films is just, I have daughters. I want them to have positive role models. And Disney princesses, lots of times, just seem like they're pretty, and that's why you're supposed to like them.
You
And
should encourage him to like the evil villains like Ursula, Maleficent. Be like, now, girls, that's a woman with power.
but in this version of Cinderella, they really, Cinderella, of course, was super pretty still, but just her kindness just overpowered everything. She was just so kind. Even in the worst circumstances, she just continued to be extremely kind, and that was the theme of the movie, is to be kind and have courage. So I love that it taught a much better lesson than, hey, she's pretty, that's why everybody likes her. And it was great.
And your kids are really fortunate to have a real life Cinderella as their mom in a way, you know? Ariane. It's like she's like the documentary version of the kind lady.
Yeah, I love her. She's wonderful.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and still, she's pregnant with twins, and she's still taking care of three toddlers. She's way cooler than Cinderella.
For sure. So you'd say Cinderella came in just ahead of Vin Diesel's Furious 7 as a kind of, that's kind of your adult pick. Not surprising from a male nurse, but
Yeah, Cinderella's on top, followed closely by Vin Diesel. I'm sorry, Vin. I've betrayed you.
I'm a little surprised we didn't hear about Mad Max. I mean, I was setting us up with the Kanab Red Rocks Desert Segway. You and Jordan were raving about it.
I love Mad Max. I want to watch that every day of my life. And I just saw Creed. I mean, I can just talk about movies all the time, but Creed is like
You're the best
a
concert you saw this last year? You saw Creed?
my own prison. Hey, no, I'm talking about the documentary of their concert.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, seriously, when they started playing Arms Wide Open, I was bawling. I couldn't handle it. But I definitely accepted JC as my personal Lord and Savior.
I'm glad you did. And when you see the concert footage in a theater, it's really just as powerful as seeing it live.
Cool. So
But
Creed's the best documentary you saw this year.
or it's actually a Rocky sequel where
Oh, wow.
Apollo Creed's illegitimate son becomes a boxer, and
That's racist. The black guy has an illegitimate son.
it's racially charged. Actually, it addresses race in pretty appropriate ways. It addresses a lot. It's actually a genuine movie.
Oh, cool.
Like Rocky One was actually like a real film that was really enjoyable. Then the rest of the Rockies are kind of caricatures of boxing and action. But this kind of goes back to the Rocky One sort of feel, and it was just really enjoyable. And it also slipped in a few amazing montages, which the Rocky series is known for.
Did Stallone, was he in it, and did he write it?
Still, he didn't write it, which was probably a good thing,
Something
but he
about
was in
race.
it, and it's probably his best performance in decades. He's genuinely really good in this film.
That's awesome. So, Dave, as you know, I have not seen any movies at the theater in 2015, but I did watch a documentary on Netflix with my wife, and it was great. It was
All
called What
right.
Happened, Miss Simone. I've probably talked about it 5 or 6 times since that's the only film reference I have for the year. But it's a great documentary about the musician Nina Simone and her musical career, her personal life, her battles with mental illness and other things. And it's fantastic. She's another kind of civil rights icon and a very strong advocate for African Americans in the U.S. and a very troubled life in its own way. It was great. And then the other great documentary that I saw, I don't think it was made this year, was called Let the Fire Burn. I don't know if you've heard of this film, Dave. It's incredible. And my best friend Jack, his older brother was the editor. So there's a director and an editor, and only 2 people made this film. But it's made entirely of archival footage from the events of the time. And it's about the firebombing of the house in which an organization called MOVE, MOVE, lived in Philadelphia in the mid-80s. It was a group of kind of back to nature, slightly eccentric African Americans who kind of lived in this commune in urban Philadelphia and turned it into a compound for their group called MOVE. And eventually the police decided they wanted to get them out of this compound, and so they firebombed it. They basically caught the building on fire, and I think like a dozen to 20 people died, including some children. It's like they had police there to shoot people who were coming out. It was like it turned into this terrible firefight and all these people died. It was like Waco, but in urban Philadelphia and racially tinged and very strongly racially motivated.
What year or what time frame?
It was 84 or 85, I think. So the middle of the Reagan presidency. And
that's crazy.
This documentary is amazing, especially because it's no contemporary interviews, no talking heads. It's just made. It's a masterpiece of editing, and it's this whole story. It's called Let the Fire Burn, but it's Nels Bangeter was the editor. I can't remember the director, Jason something. He's like a film professor at George Mason or something. But it was outstanding. Those are the two best, two only films, but the two best films I saw this last
time. So still for the next one, I'm hoping you have a little more experience in it this year. Best children's book that you read this year.
Man, I read so many, but one of the coolest ones actually is a wordless children's book. It's called Journey by Aaron Becker. Have you seen this book?
Yeah, great illustrations.
Super cool. And it's like a child who is kind of getting ignored at home, bored at home. And so they use – it's like Harold's Purple Crayon or whatever, but they draw an imagined world and enter into it and they interact in this world. And it's really compelling storytelling without language, which I liked. Beautiful.
Idea. Yeah. We got the sequel just the other day from the library. I think it's called Quest.
Nice.
Also pretty neat. My pick, I love children's books. I go to the library probably once a week. I just love it. So an author that I've really enjoyed this year, I'm not even sure how to say his name, John A.G., maybe. Sure. Last name is A.G.E.E. All of his books kind of have a humor, just really interesting illustrations. But the one that came out this year that I love is called It's Only Stanley. And have you seen this book?
No, but I'm looking at the cover now, and I can see why that book would speak to you. It's like a beagle trying to fix a TV set with an antenna or something, a colander. It looks amazing.
It's really neat. Basically, this family's in their home, and they keep hearing noises throughout the night, and the kids keep going into the parents' room saying, like, I'm hearing this noise, and the dad goes out. And he looks, and it's Stanley, the dog. He's doing something, and he keeps coming back, and he's like, it's only Stanley. He's fixing the TV, and it just keeps happening until just a fantastic surprise ending that I don't think you're going to see coming, and I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it's just fun. And it's written in rhyme and just really nicely illustrated.
Wow, so it's like it hits all your sweet spots. Poetry, children's book, dogs. Misadventures, incompetence, dads,
and comedy. Like it's genuinely funny. I laugh every time I read it.
Great. I can't wait. That's how I feel a little bit about Sandra Boynton. I think you recommended her books. I think they're quite good like that. They're for much younger kids, but Cedar is so into Red Hat, Green Hat.
Oh, that's a comedy classic. It's so good.
Oops, what a turkey. All right, Dave, these are going to be some quick hitters. We've got four real fast ones. We're just going to go like rapid fire. Best board game of the year.
I bought Lords of Waterdeep. Super nerdy. It's based on Dungeons & Dragons, but super fun gameplay. I've played it like 6 times. I've still never won, but I keep playing it because I just enjoy it.
How many players is it for?
It's 2 to 5 players. I don't know all the kind of nerdy gaming things, but it's kind of worker placement is the genre that it's in.
How long does it take to complete a game?
It takes about an hour, and you're trying to get victory points. You're trying to be the Lord of Waterdeep, as everyone wants to be.
Yeah. For me, it's Ticket to Ride. I like the European version, transport game. It's been fun. We play with the Wagstaff family's really into it, so every time we get together with the Wagstaffs, we always play Ticket to Ride Europe. And it's a bloodbath.
Yeah, and Europe is it's better than just Ticket to Ride. It's a good expansion. I like
it. Much better. Yeah. Okay, so best non-off the chain podcast. Obviously ours is the best podcast of the year, but if you had to pick one that wasn't us, what's the best one you heard this year?
Two podcasts I really enjoy. Reveal. Have you listened to Reveal?
Yeah, it's great. Laurel and I just discovered this recently. It's the best.
Yeah, so basically they do investigative journalism into lots of different topics and really kind of try and reveal, as the title says, information about interesting things. I just listened to the series of investigations they did about a rehab center in upstate New York,
Oh my
which was
goodness.
way more interesting than what I just made it sound like.
Yeah, it was great. And the thing I like about it, Al Ledson, the host, great pacing, good voice, and it's one of the few noticeably African American voices on like this whole spate of like cool smart podcasts. And I appreciate that. There's like a commitment to intelligent diversity there.
And yeah, just a plug for them. They're on lots of NPR stations, and I think they're working on becoming a weekly show. Right now, they're a monthly show on NPR with weekly podcasts, but they're working on becoming a weekly show. So that I think they need a little bit of donations, and it's a really great show. And I've also enjoyed Bill Simmons is a great. This is a sports writer I've enjoyed for years, and he does a podcast. He just left ESPN. He's been doing one on his own for a while that I still really enjoy, the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yeah, it's top of the chart. So a lot of people agree with you, I think, on that one, Mark. My favorite podcast that's not off the chain is one called The Memory Palace with Nate DiMeo. I don't need to explain it in great detail, but this guy from Rhode Island, he takes these short vignettes from history, usually about 100, 150 years ago, and tells these incredible human stories and narratives and makes you think and makes you aware of all this stuff that you've never heard of, like ordinary tales of people that would have been famous in really special and incredible ways. And just recently, he's joined the Radiotopia group and is making them every week. He used to just do it when he had free time. Far and away, the best, most interesting historical storytelling podcast, and they're usually like 8 to 15 minutes, so they're really nice little listenable chunks. He's literary, Dave. You'll appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
Okay, quick one. Best condiment of the year.
Honey,
Great.
putting that on sandwiches, smoothies, wherever I can put it.
For me, Trader Joe's is now making this spicy stuff. It's like sriracha, but it's green. It's called the Green Dragon. Check it out. It's like green chilies. I put it on everything. I drink like a gallon of it a week.
That sounds healthy.
So good. Cleans out your sinuses. Okay, a newspaper or magazine. Best new one that you subscribed to this year.
We only subscribe to one, and I'm not sure why, but it's great. Arizona Highways just talks about Arizona and just really beautiful pictures of Arizona, and I love Arizona, so it's hitting my sweet spots.
You guys are real asphalt aficionados too. I know you're interested in the kind of grade and slope and the quality of materials. I think they have really nice features on what the actual highway composition is made of too, right?
Yeah, most of it is just exclusively highway construction and discussion on where we should be placing our highways, where we should be putting our funds for that. Great, great stuff.
Great. They had a great recent feature on the color of road signs, how they get that special shiny green and, you know, its particular chemical properties. That was just a knockout read. Loved it.
And the interviews that they did this year, a series of them with the people that are holding the stop sign
Yeah.
when they're directing traffic, just riveting.
Yeah, stop in the native name of construction, they called it. It was a really great play on words. I'm going to give a shout out for Poetry Magazine, Dave. It's really been
Oh,
revitalized.
wait, you like poetry? You're into this?
Yeah. Poetry Magazine, published out of Chicago. It's been going for more than 100 years. One of the longest lived literary magazines in America. And a really wealthy pharmaceutical heiress donated $100 million when she died to the magazine,
Oh,
to the foundation,
jeez.
like a decade ago. And obviously, it's changed their life and their world enormously. The current editor is a guy named Don Scher. I think he's pretty fantastic as far as editors go. And I'm really pleased and proud that we have a subscription to Poetry Magazine. It's worth checking out. It's also the publication in 1932 that launched the Objectivists, who are the poets that I write about in my dissertation, Charles Reznikoff, George Oppen, Loreen Nidecker, all the people that I love and talk about. Their first big appearance as a group was in Poetry Magazine, you know, 80 years ago. So,
And they're still moving along. That's
yeah.
great. What a gang. What a good gang.
Gang. All right, Dave, these ones are going to take a little. These are kind of the end of the year big awards we have here. Man of the Year, Dave. Who is your 2015 Man of the Year?
So I don't know how you approach this, Steele. I just approach it as someone that I really enjoyed this year that brought something a little extra to my life. And it's John Oliver.
Oh.
I love his HBO show. We don't have HBO, but we watched the clips on YouTube last week tonight. Have you watched it very much?
No, I mean, I used to watch him occasionally on the Today Show and then, or Tonight Show, or whatever, the Jon Stewart show. I'm
Daily
retarded.
Show.
David.
Daily Show.
I used to watch him on with Mickey Rooney, on
Yeah,
Nightline.
his tap dance numbers he'd do. He's great.
And I thought he was a great band leader for Lawrence Welk, but I haven't really followed him since then. No, I mean, there's clips always on social media because he's so good, his little 7-minute clips, but I don't follow it as much as I should.
Yeah, I watch him pretty regularly. We've talked before about him on the podcast a little bit, but he approaches social issues with humor and usually gives you something to do to actually address the social issue rather than just humorously like skewering some subject like all the money being poured into stadiums. He usually gives you, he'll talk about the problem and then he'll give you some action to do to try and address it. So it's he talks about really interesting issues in a really funny way, things that you might not be aware of if you didn't watch them. And then he doesn't just use his forum to like make fun of stuff, but I think he tries to make a little bit of social change as well.
And I heard he's from Skegness, Pride of Skegness. Is that true?
The Pride of Skeggy. He's a wonderful English man. And you'll note that I don't think he'll ever go back to England. He's in America now.
All right, my man of the year. It was a close call. I almost chose Sepp Blatter for his obvious contributions to the human race. But instead, I have to go. This is like, it's easy to pick. He's been the man of the year basically since 1979, every year. When U2 first burst on the scene, it's Bono.
He's done it again.
Yeah, if you ask Bono, he's the man of the year, probably. Well, in fact, I would say he would probably say the greatest man of all time, including Jesus Christ, who he holds in great esteem. But Bono, that did again. Yeah, he's walking on water. Everything he touches turns to gold. The guy is just a humble world changer.
And what's great is I think it may have been the year before that he had the bike accident where he almost couldn't play guitar anymore, but he's really bounced back from it. He's moving forward and he's putting out great music. He's giving it out for free to Apple users. I just appreciate what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Bono that really sets him apart from other rock stars is the total absence of ego. He's just totally selfless and super self-aware. Just gets it all right. He makes Jeff Tweedy look like a stuck-up rock star because
Well, the
Bono is
thing
just so
is,
down to earth.
he's transcended ego. I don't think you can even use ego in the same sentence as Bono. He's transcended it.
The thing that really touched my heart most is he was on Fareed Zakaria, and I watch Fareed Zakaria religiously. Guy's
Yeah, you
great.
love that. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And so they're just talking about stuff, and he's like, one of the things that's great about you, Bono, and it's hard not to say that at the beginning of every sentence, but he says he read a quote from when Bono was like 23 years old about how I care about stuff. I can't be not socially engaged. I gotta be in there doing things. Bono's like, yeah, I was really insufferable as a young man. But actually, the Paris events, I was writing a song for this Italian singer, Zucchero, and it's called Streets of Surrender, SOS. And I'll just share a bit with you. And he recites the entire lyrics to the song in the interview. Here's the poem. And the thing that got me were these lines. It's just life-changing poetry. Everybody's crying about some kid they found lying on a beach. That's a reference to the kid who drowned, the Syrian refugee. Born in a manger, a reference to Jesus. You're free, baby, baby. Free now and forever. It's Christmas time. You can decide to forget or to remember. Think about
Wow.
it, Dave. Think about it. Man of the year, poet of the year, humanitarian of the year, social mover of the year, idol of the year. It's Bono.
And I feel like in those words, it may be a tribute to Sepp Blatter as well, buried in there. It's an incredibly dense poem, so it's hard to read through all the layers, but yeah.
Everybody else may be arrested from FIFA, but you're free, baby, baby. That's the Sepp Blatter reference all the way. You're good, Dave. You're real good. Tied it all together. All right, so men of the year, obviously, whatever. But woman of the year, this is the real important award. Who's your woman of the year, Dave? And no
So.
family. Can't pick family.
I was talking to someone at work and they're like, well, pick your wife. And I don't think I can pick my wife. Still, the way I engage with the world is in a handful of ways. I really like podcasts. I read books. I watch movies. And I love sports. I love to read about sports. I love to engage in sports. And sports commentary, I think it's a hard place for women. And so I think it's really interesting when women do it and do it well. Someone I was really impressed with this year is Rachel Nichols. Are you familiar with her at all?
I know the name and I've probably read some of her stuff, but I don't think I've followed her super closely. Tell me more.
Yeah. Okay, she's pretty talented. She's in this world of sports commentary. When you're a woman, obviously there's kind of backlash that can come at you. But she addressed some of these controversies really well. She spoke out against Greg Hardy, the Dallas Cowboys player that's been convicted for domestic abuse.
Is she a TV journalist? That's probably why I don't know who she is. Okay.
She Commissioner Goodell.
Oh,
She
goodness.
really kind of asked him some questions that other people weren't asking him regarding the Ray Rice scandal, where Ray Rice knocked his fiance unconscious, and how Commissioner Goodell basically lied about everything through the process,
Oh,
and she
jeez.
tried to call him out on it. And then and Floyd Mayweather, when interviewing him, she's directly addressed some of his domestic abuse things in the past as well. She just doesn't let people slide on things where you really can't let them slide. You can't let Commissioner Goodell just blatantly lie to people and not call them out on it. You can't see Floyd Mayweather just always like talking about his piles of money and not address his real problems of domestic abuse.
Yeah, I think that's great. I appreciate that commitment to social issues, especially domestic violence. It's good that there's TV personalities that are willing to talk about that because I think we want so many ways sports to be like a escape from the real world, but we carry our real world prejudices and biases and gender weird baggage into it, and it's important to be honest about it. So I'm going to talk about a woman from the realm of sports as well. That's my woman of the year, U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Taking down FIFA, arresting guys left and right. And she's my sportswoman of the year because she recognizes that Sepp Blatter is innocent of all charges and hasn't even dared to touch him or come close to him. And I think that's really the accomplishment of the year, recognizing Sepp Blatter's greatness and letting him be free, baby, born in a manger.
I'm just glad that all your picks could connect somehow to the great Sepp Blatter and all that he's done for the world. That's all I have to say.
Not just the world, I'd say other planets in the solar system as well. I'm sure they get the World Cup there.
Yeah, like a dwarf planet. I'm sure that the dwarves enjoy soccer. They like that stuff.
Definitely. Messi, I think, might be a visitor from that dwarf planet. Well, those are our men and women of the year. They're all great. Obviously, we've been a little tongue in cheek for some of our selections, but now it's time to get serious for our final thing. And this is we live in a complex world. We talk lightheartedly about things a lot of times, but there are social issues that really do matter to us that have been part of the general zeitgeist. For you, Dave, what has been the social issue that's defined 2015?
Police violence. There's been lots of things that have happened. A lot of protests regarding white policemen killing unarmed African American youth, and you can look at Ferguson, the young man that was shot and killed there. He may have made some poor choices that day. There's no reason that young man needed to be killed. It's strange to see these things. I'm not really expressing it well, but
Yeah, I
I
hear
don't
you,
know
man.
why you have to continue to shoot this young man until he drops dead. Why is that in your thought process? I think police training, the approach that they have to so many of these crimes, it just isn't working correctly. I don't think it has to be this way. Police can still maintain order without having these violent episodes frequently.
Yeah.
There are going to be criminals. There's going to be times that you have to pull out your gun, but it just doesn't need to be. You shouldn't be firing at someone's back or shooting an unarmed person. That just shouldn't need to happen.
Yeah, there's something really terrifying about America's relationship with guns and with violence, and the police are certainly embroiled in that. And I, in some ways, feel some empathy because they're the people who most likely experience civilians with guns, like in their ordinary life. They're much more likely than I am. But at the same time, they're also going everywhere in their job with a gun on their hip. And that's a huge responsibility. And it's so heartbreaking and disappointing to see the number of cases that resemble one another, where it's fear of black men mostly, and police officers are shooting and killing people that should not be dead and that are dead. And the way that sends a message about the value of black male lives in our country and what state power can do to them is just really heartbreaking to me too. I think that's I think you're really right to identify that as like a social issue that really defines the year of 2015 and hopefully is something that we can take some steps to begin addressing in 2016.
Because I think it's something that can be addressed. I don't think this is one of these issues that is unfixable.
Yeah.
I think that essentially training, I'd compare some of these high intense situations to maybe a code blue in the hospital. A patient's heart stops. The first time you're in one of those, it's really intense. You don't know what to do. It takes training. It takes repetitive action. Every year you have to go back, do more training. You have to go to every code blue just to get the experience so that when you're in this intense situation, you can actually handle what's going on. When you walk into a code blue without training, you're not going to know what on earth to do, and it's going to be very frightening. I think that's what happens a lot to these policemen. They're just not prepared to face these situations.
Yeah.
and they react to them poorly.
Yeah, you have these little unconscious biases that get exacerbated in high-stress situations, and it turns terrible. So, Dave, you talked about an issue that I think is really deeply rooted in, like, the biggest aspect of the American history or the American past. The social issue that I was going to point to is, I think, the issue that's going to define our future, and it's global climate change and what human beings seem to be doing to our environment. And it's something that it's super serious, and we don't talk about it, and it's hard to talk about without despair, but there's a recent global conference in Paris. World leaders are getting together to try to talk about what we're going to do or what they're going to try to commit to do to address the production, human action that is warming our planet and destroying it. We're killing species at an unprecedented rate. 2014 was the hottest year ever recorded. 2015 looks like it will be even warmer. We've had the most rain. I mean, we're altering our climate and it's not going to be good for a lot of life on our planet. So it's a big deal.
I think it's an interesting issue. I think a lot of people, most people probably can accept that it is a real problem, but there's still a lot of people that would deny that this is an issue. I think that's funny. It's an interesting aspect of the issue that has to be addressed and still dealt with that many people don't feel like this is a problem. I think most people in the United States would acknowledge that police violence, how some of these things have been handled, is a real problem. But there's still people that would think that, oh, climate change, that's not actually an issue.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. All right, Dave, real quickly, time to say goodbye. You know, at the end of the Oscars, they always have these people who died in 2015. Anybody that that passed away in 2015 that you think deserves a special acknowledgement or a little quick shout out from us?
Again, I like the world of sports. There's a few notable sportsmen that passed away this year. Stuart Scott, ESPN personality.
He made highlights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he made it really fun. It was fun to watch Stuart Scott.
Daryl Dawkins, Moses Malone, Yogi Berra, all within a munch of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's just too much humor, too much goodness leaving the world at once from the world of sports. It was a really sad month. I'll say two people from the world of literature in the beginning of the year. Two of my favorite poets died this year. Belle Waring, who's a really underknown poet, was also worked as a nurse for many years. Great poetry about nursing and about life. And she died on January 31st of cancer. And Philip Levine, who was my favorite poet as a teenager, one of the first poets that I learned a lot from and grew to love poetry from, died on February 14th. He was quite old, I think in his late 90s. Those are two heartbreaking deaths. And then in August, another poet I really admired named Charles Tomlinson died. So I wanted to say, I loved all of them, and I'm really sad they left the world, but glad for what they left us before they died.
And then, of course, the biggest tragedy this year is when we lost Melvin Gordon. He was the CEO of Tootsie Roll since 1962.
Yeah.
This man helped bring into our lives Junior Mints, Charleston Chews, Blow Pops, Sugar Daddies. The list is endless. His accomplishments probably outweigh everyone else that passed away this year, but I don't mean to disparage others, but I just want Melvin to be acknowledged.
Great point. And let's take a moment of silence for Melvin. Thanks. Now it's time for Unchained Melodies. Melvin Gordon, we'll miss you. Thank you for contributing to probably one half of the total weight of all Halloween candy this last year, especially the uneaten Halloween candy. You made the worst stuff on earth. Thanks a lot. So, songs of the year, Dave. You mentioned at the top Leon Bridges. Tell me.
I did.
Play something for me. Let's hear a little taste of Leon.
I have to tell you a quick story. This song's beautiful. It's called River. A couple nights ago, I was playing it as I was dancing with Juniper, and the chorus goes, "Take me to your river, I want to go." And I was singing this to June, and she kept, after I'd sing it, she'd look up at me, kind of perk up, open her eyes, and say, "I don't have a river, Daddy." And it was wonderful, but I didn't even think about it. 45 minutes later, I'm playing the guitar and not paying attention to my daughters at that time. And Juniper comes up to me. She says, "I'm ready to take you to my river now." So I had to put the guitar up. I had to go and do whatever she wanted because she was ready to take me to her river. And we got in a pretend car and drove for a while, then walked. And she showed me her river, and it was awesome. And it's all thanks to Leon Bridges and this beautiful song.
To the good Lord, and to wipe your slate clean. Take me to your river.
I don't know what to say, Dave. That's a beautiful story, beautiful song. Song of the year.
I love it. I'm glad I heard it, and I'm glad I've danced to it.
Yeah.
What do you got for me, Steele?
Do you want to go slow or you want to go fast, Dave?
Ease me into it. Slow. Let's wait for the fast one. I'm not ready.
This one's a heartbreaker. Anna B. Savage. I don't know much about her. The song's kind of sort of not really well known. I believe she's English, and the song is called One. It's from an EP.
He's left the lights on, so I've kept my shirt on. And I know, I know, I know it's no fun, but we might have to skip this one. 'Cause Jesus, I'm too insecure. For him to undress me, then take the pills. And they haven't all been good, like they said they would. One said my body was like the look of it, but Jesus, he came off smarter than that. To grab an inch of stomach and say fat.
Are you surprised?
No, it was actually a nice transition from Leona Bridges into her. She's got an interesting voice and just a nice song.
It's one of those heartbreaking songs about, I think, female body insecurity, about how men treat women, about honesty. And the thing about the song for me is that she's got that incredible voice, but the way that they recorded that, the intimacy of it, you hear the intake of breath, you hear the fingers on the frets. And there's just something that's so irreplaceable about the way that sound is engineered, so that you hear the, and then you hear the clarity of the vocals. That just, for me, it just speaks to me.
Well, it's lovely. I already added it to my Spotify, whatever song list. It's already in. I'm ready. Great.
All right, Dave. So should I do my fast now and then we'll let you close?
Sure.
Okay. This one's very different, but I love this guy. Great songwriter. He came out with this new kind of more rockin' album this year. Nathaniel Ratliff. I think I've mentioned him to you. I don't know if we played him on the show. But the song is by a band, Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. This is a song about alcoholism. It's called SOB, and it has some profanity in it. So if you're listening with children, tell them to enjoy.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's hand. I'm gonna need someone to hold me down. I'm gonna need someone to care. I'm gonna rise and shake my body. I'll start cooling out my hair. I'm gonna cover myself with the ashes of you. And nobody's gonna give a damn. Son of a bitch, give me a drink.
I wasn't ready for that transition. I was really enjoying the song, and all of a sudden, boom! He like dropped a bomb on me.
Dave, it's so good. In the video, you'll love. It's like a Cool Hand Luke kind of prison. It's like Johnny Cash performing in Folsom County Prison, and it's like the bands there playing in a prison hall, and all these guys are like pounding on the tables. And it's a great song about what it's like to struggle to get off the sauce. It's just got so much energy. It's so fun. I don't know. Maybe it's the profane streak in me, but I just really like that one. I can picture Spencer being really secretly into that song.
Hide it from your wife, Spence. Don't let Emmeline know. So I'm going to bring us back down just a little bit.
Perfect.
To a tiny man from Scandinavia, known as the tallest man on earth. We've played him before on our show. The album that he put out this year, this is the title track of the album. It's my favorite song on the record. It's called Dark Bird Is Home.
And so there were no higher mountains. It's all in your head. Valley was a future seat, and out sails the plan. And in this travel with no journey, I lose till I'm live. Letting go of mine to have what I'm keeping now. And suddenly the day gets you down. But this is not the end, no, this is fine. Still a tower's in the valley, still winds down the street. Still we're in the light of day, with our ghosts within.
Oh, Man, I made a couple mixtapes for Laurel a few years ago for her birthday, and a couple of them have Tallest Man on Earth songs. And every time the songs come on, like, both of us, like, it just stops everything that's happening in the car. And we're like, he's got a voice that just commands space. And he just, it's like an instrument that controls the rhythm and the melody and everything at once. It's really unique how he just bosses a song with that voice.
And we've seen him in concert once.
Oh, you did? I'd love to.
Yeah, he's just this little man, but he fills the room. He just fills it with his voice, and it's powerful. It's great. I like what he does.
Hey, Dave, before we do Book Wisdom, can I make a special request? Let's just do one more song quick. You've been telling me about the Handsome Family.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really listened to them yet. What would you recommend? What's the Handsome Family song I should check out?
Oh, boy. So, Steele, I got super into him for a few weeks, and then I stopped listening to him. I couldn't handle it anymore. I don't know, but they really got me going, and then I just kind of lost it. But they have some really interesting songs and really interesting lyrics. There's one about the bottomless hole that I really enjoy.
Okay. It's like Nick Cave, Tom Waits, They Might Be Giants, and some country musician all like mixed together.
And he's just telling you about the bottomless hole. He's letting you know all about it.
There's a little Crash Test Dummies mixed in there, maybe even the depth of his voice. That's awesome. And if you don't mind, I'll play you a couple seconds of this Rosemary Standley and Dom Lenena song so you can get a taste for Dom Lenena's voice here.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is a song called Duerme Negrito from the Birds on a Wire record. Cello.
Duerme, duerme, negrito, que tu mamá está en el campo, negrito. Duerme, duerme, negrito, que tu mamá está en el campo, negrito. Te va a traer coronitas para ti, te va a traer rica fruta para ti. Te va a traer carne de cerdo para ti. Te va a traer muchas cosas para ti. Y si el negro no se duerme, viene el diablo blanco. Y sas, le come la patita. Chaca, puma, chaca, pum. Puma, chaca, puma, chaca, puma, chaca, pum. Puma, chaca, puma, chaca, puma, chaca, pum. Puma, chaca, puma, chaca, puma, chaca, pum.
I'm mostly just playing that because next time I see you, I want the three triplets to be trained to be able to sing. Puma chaka puma chaka pum.
I'll see what I can do. They never want to sing actual written songs. They only want to sing songs that they're making up on the spot. And wow. It's pretty cool.
Geniuses. Well, Dave, this has been a great year, the best of the year. And I want to turn Book Wisdom over to you to give us some of the best guiding thoughts to take us into the end of this year or the next year.
So, Steele, I love some of the aspects of Washington, D.C., and probably my favorite place in Washington, D.C. is the Lincoln Memorial. There were a few times when I lived near there that I ran to it. I ran all the way. It was probably like 10 miles. It was something kind of ridiculous. And I ran to the Lincoln Memorial. On the wall, on the right hand, on the right side of the memorial, is Lincoln's second inaugural address. And every time I've gone there, I read it, and I love what he says. I love the message. It is a very spiritual message, but I think it's also very appropriate with some of the social issues that we talked about and just with life in general. I'd love to read the whole thing. It's not that long, but I'm just going to read towards the end. And obviously, he's addressing the Civil War. So 1/8 of the whole population were colored slaves, not distributed generally over the Union, but localized in the southern part of it. These slaves constituted a peculiar and powerful interest. All knew that this interest was somehow the cause of the war. To strengthen, to perpetuate, and extend this interest was the object for which the insurgents would rend the Union even by war, while the government claimed no right to do more than to restrict the territorial enlargement of it. Neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict might cease with or even before the conflict itself should cease. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces, but let us judge not, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must need be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which in the province of God must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers in the living God always ascribe him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword. As was said 3,000 years ago, so it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. With malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Wow. What a powerful conclusion, you know, moving to like finish the work, bind up the wounds, care for the survivors and the wounded, and then achieve, what does he say, a just and lasting peace with all nations. That's a beautiful ideal now, the way that America's positioning itself, yeah.
I think a lot of the country, a lot of things are really divisive in the country. I guess there's always going to be divisiveness everywhere, that there's a large society. Yeah, I hope that we can all be bound together, the nation's wounds, and care for each other, rather than, I guess, continue to fight and continue to be not unified. I think that there's always going to be disagreements. There's always going to be people that don't see things the same way, but that doesn't have to divide our country or divide one person from another. We can just agree that we're different.
What a wise thought for the end of 2015. Thanks, Dave. Dave, it's been a great year of podcasts. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, Steele. I'm glad that you were on board with doing this. It's been good.
It's such a great idea, and it's been really fun, even if it's taken a lot of time.
Off the chain. It's off the chain.
I've been thinking about anger a lot lately because it's really easy to get angry at silly things, you know? Hey, like, I get angry at my daughters. It's ridiculous. There's really no reason to ever get angry at my daughters. And so the thought that I had that I came with is a grateful heart cannot be angry.